The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, and Una talking there about gigs in Tennessee and people gently going back and things opening up there. You don't know whether to cheer or cry at that. Cheer maybe is the way we should look at it, because as Micheál Martin was trying to say at the beginning of the week as well, look, we're nearly there. The worst is behind us. Keep focus. Keep looking ahead. I look at that picture this morning on the front of the Irish Examiner as well, of the sun rising yesterday, to try and give us that sense that, you know, the end actually is in sight. And performance and wellbeing coach Enda McNulty, CEO of McNulty Training Development, is on the line now. Just to talk about this and to try and help us dig a little bit deeper for that resilience that we need to get through to the other side. It's like running a marathon, you know, we have 20 miles down, the wall is in front of us. How do we get through the next 6.2?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Damien. What a beautiful day here in Ireland. Thanks to all the optimism that's out there. We're seeing lots of green shoots, to say the least. We're also seeing huge positivity coming in terms of the vaccine rollout, Damien. You mentioned running a marathon. I think that's exactly it. And it's taking that day at a time. It's not thinking about, you know, where is the end of this marathon? Nobody knows. The biggest experts in the world don't know. Our government don't know. And of course, our CMO doesn't know. But what we do know is we can boost our resilience and our well-being. So no matter how long it lasts, no matter how difficult it gets in the next month, 6 weeks and beyond, we can boost our resilience and well-being so we're ready for it. And I know people have heard over the last 12 months, we're all probably sick to the teeth of hearing about we need to exercise, we need to boost our mental health, we need to boost our resilience and so on. But I think we should be working on those things in normal times, never mind even in COVID times. I think in our families, I think in our companies, in our teams, in our communities, we should be striving to boost our resilience and our well-being. So we aim to strive in life, not just merely to survive.
I was listening to my alma mater, I was going to say, but Marty was on Countrywide this morning and he was chatting, or they were talking about, you know, chocolatiering and how there's been a massive increase in the amount of chocolate businesses and how, I suppose, and food businesses as well, and how the last 12 months there has been so good things to come out of what's happened, the pandemic. There's been a creation of opportunity in so many walks of life. Is it a good thing as well? We've probably become a little bit more humble, less focused on materialism and ego and all of that. You know, that could be a good thing as we reset ourselves for the post-pandemic.
I love that phrase, reset ourselves. I think across our society and maybe across global society, we recognise that it's okay now to show vulnerability. It's okay now to be much more humble about the importance of connected to community, family, friends. And of course, we realise that if we haven't got our well-being, well, what else do we have in life? So the major positive trends coming out of this COVID pandemic, and of course, there's things that have been hugely negative. I don't need to give any more airtime to those, Damien. And I think you'll forgive me not for speaking about any of the negative aspects of the pandemic, because they're all over the media waves for 12 months, and rightly so, of course, they've been focused on very predominantly. I think we really need to focus in on those positive trends the pandemic has taught us.
Yeah.
So what has it taught us? What are the trends? It's taught us, of course, about the importance of connecting with people that are most closest and dearest to us. It's taught us very firmly about, if we don't have our well-being and our health, what else do we have in life? Does it matter about the car? Does it matter about the corner office? Does it matter about how nice our clothes are, how nice our apartment is, if we don't have our well-being? And I think the other big thing it's taught us is, yes, a greater sense of humanity, to give, to be more aware of other people, to be more aware of the people that are really the big stars and champions in life. I think it's taught us firmly about those things.
Can I just put a couple of scenarios to you, though, that people listening might say, you know, I'm living in the house with my partner and our young children. We're working from home. It's tough morning, noon and night. I need my space. And sometimes when people say I need my space, it makes them sound, you know, very selfish. But how important is it that we do have that sort of space to replenish the mind and, as you say, fill up the emotional tank?
Yeah, well, I think it's critically important. Everybody, in essence, will have their own ways of creating their own headspace. Everybody will have their own ways of building their own emotional fitness, their own resilience and well-being. So some of my top tips in terms of, let's say, their emotional fitness would be, well, I would educate them, first of all, what emotional fitness is. It's the ability to stay positive and resilient and focused, even in those difficult days at home, maybe when you're locked down, maybe when you're working from home and home parenting and homeschooling, of course. But the simple things there to fill that emotional tank would be things like maybe a musical instrument, maybe reading, maybe getting a hot bath. Perhaps it is getting into the garden. I know you speak a lot about people in farming communities and in agricultural context. So it's doing the things that pick you up emotionally, whatever that is for people. It could be playing the piano, it could be cooking, it could be calling an old friend, it could be reading a chapter in a book, or yes, maybe it's something on Netflix that you watch that really picks you up and gives you a sense of fun. That's my first top tip on emotional fitness. I would also say, in terms of emotional fitness, get fully engaged with those loved ones around you. Really meaningfully connect with them. So a proper conversation. A proper Zoom conversation, perhaps. Perhaps it's going for a walk with your child or your wife or your partner, but really engaging. And the more we really engage, the more we're boosting our emotional fitness.
You used the word there, resilience, and I want to zone in on that. Do we have inner resilience in our DNA, or do you have to hone it?
So first of all, we're born with a certain level of resilience, but thankfully we can grow our resilience and we can develop our resilience. But I think we have to do that daily. It's almost, again, like fitness. Nobody would expect to become more fit by doing one session a week or one run per week. We can only get fit by doing 5 or 6 exercise bouts per week. Same with resilience and emotional fitness. Let's invest regularly. Let's invest a little bit in terms of those two key aspects of well-being. Because resilience and emotional fitness are directly connected to our overall well-being in life.
You talk as well about routine. How important is routine and compartmentalizing our day? That's a word you use. I was looking at your website yesterday. What does that actually mean, and how important is it that when we get up in the morning we have a structure to our day?
Well, I think in our early careers in McNulty, we started off working with professional athletes. And some of those were at the best of the best in their sport, maybe Olympic sport, maybe rugby, maybe soccer, maybe track and field. And we realised how ritualised and how routinised their diary was, their day was, their week was. And then we started to bring that same mentality into people working in the corporate world. And then in terms of McNulty Impact, we started bringing that same mentality in, helping people understand the little routines and rituals that allow them to build that resilience and well-being, so they're proactive with it rather than reactive. And some examples that would be, perhaps this Easter weekend, everybody listening could do 2 or 3 little things that they start to make habitual. Maybe it is early in the morning before they lift their mobile phone to try to be aware of their breathing and to calm their breathing down, and thus getting into that almost more centered state for them before the day almost catches up with them. That's one small example of a routine and a ritual. Another small example is exercise early in the morning. So you're setting yourself up for success in terms of your physical resilience, so you're able to cope with and deal with any of the little problems and challenges that COVID present, or maybe your family or your business or your farm or your friends might present.
Yeah.
So get into that routine so you're proactive with your well-being rather than reactive.
Yeah, I heard somebody say they went for their daily walk early in the morning, and when they came home, it leaves it a long day after that. But to the other end of the day, I don't know whether you're having them or not, Enda, but these mad dreams that people are having, not being able to sleep properly, and it all winds back to anxiety, which in turn winds back to, I suppose, conscious or subconscious concerns that we all have about where we are at the moment. Are you finding that is a common problem that people are talking about, lack of sleep?
Yes, lack of sleep is a major trend also in this pandemic. And I think the reason for that is it's actually linked to emotional fitness, to resilience and well-being. If we exercise more, it's going to be better in terms of getting sleep. If we do meditation more and calm our mind more, it's going to impact our sleep better. If we know how to boost our emotional fitness, therefore reduces our anxiety and increases our sleep quality. So I think one of the big concerns I would have about the last 12 months, while there's been lots of positive hotspots in advocating well-being and resilience and emotional fitness, etc., there's not enough understanding of how they're all connected, how they're all integrated. So just exactly on your question, Damien. So if we exercise more, if we practice things like, you know, our gratitude late at night, if we practice meditation daily, if maybe we avoid watching news late at night or watching, you know...
Maybe any time during the day.
maybe any time during the day, or minimise exposure. So yeah. We need to watch the news. I think it's pretty important to watch the news, but not watching it all day, every day.
Just pick one bulletin, maybe. You know, that's what a lot of people do, just to get it, you know, watch one news bulletin. It could be the 6, the 9, whatever it is, and that's it. You know,
well, I do one per week. I'll be honest, Damon. I watch one news bulletin a week. I try to watch an Irish news bulletin. I try to watch an American one, and I try to watch one in Asia-Pac because of our client portfolio around the world.
Right.
So I do it once a week, and then I'm informed, and then I can get busy building my resilience, my well-being, and more importantly, helping our clients build their resilience and their well-being. Yeah.
People will know you, of course, former intercounty footballer, All-Ireland winner with Armagh. God, back now, Jeannie, nearly 20 years.
Too many years,
yeah.
Damien.
But can I just ask you then, before we go, what you made of Training Gate this week involving the Dublin players?
I have a lot of time for Desi Farrell. I have a lot of time for what Dublin have achieved in the last 7, 8 years. I'll be really honest, Damien. If I was a Gaelic footballer today and I couldn't train, I'd be really struggling. I'd struggle very badly. And I'd want to find a way to go and meet my teammates. So I'm not advocating what they've done. Mm. But in a way, I can empathise with that in terms of the drive that a young athlete, male or female, no matter what sport, to have that drive to connect with the teammates. I don't advocate it. I don't make it okay. But I can understand why they did it.
Yeah, like there are intercounty footballers, they're following individual programmes, we know, or maybe with a training buddy or whatever. But then there's all sorts of rumours. Ah, sure, they're all at it and the Dubs were caught. I don't know. But so you're on the one hand, you understand it. But on the other hand, you know why they shouldn't have done it.
I'm not advocating, they definitely shouldn't have done it. But if I was a footballer today, I would find it extremely difficult. That's been really honest and very authentic. I'd find it extremely difficult not to train with my teammates in any sense, maybe fours or fives. I don't advocate. I would not in any way suggest it was okay.
Going against the rules.
But I can understand why.
Yeah, and the GEA obviously have that to deal with. Anyway, we'll park that. Before you go, you have a podcast.
We've recently released a podcast, Rise Higher, which is top of the educational charts. And it's about everything we spoke about, Damien. It's about building your resilience. It's about boosting your well-being. And it's about getting busy every day, getting better, being proactive with your health rather than reactive. I hope it inspires your listeners to continue to invest in their well-being.
All right, Enda McNulty, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. That's Enda McNulty, CEO of McNulty Training and Development.